We're really pleased to have you all here this morning. Again, my name is Don Richards. I'll be speaking with you this morning for a little bit. I want to talk to you a little bit in a minute. I'm glad you're here. We're not fooling anybody, though. I know why you're here. Y'all are all pledges, aren't you? I was a pledge at one time, a few years ago, and I never pledged a fraternity. I played Saddle Trains. And so I was in that, and I got some assignments that pledges get from time to time. Well, I know pledges volunteer. We did back then. They said, I need three volunteers, you, and you. That's how we volunteered. I got volunteered to go to the A&M game one year and guard the bell. It was a banging birthday. The bell, you got to ring. And so I went down there to the game. There was just a few of us there because it didn't have a big crowd. And A&M, this morning's paper had an article about Texas crowds. Sometimes it can be hostile. You need to go down to an A&M game sometime, especially when we win down there. You'll see a hostile crowd. We won that game at the last minute. This was 40 years ago. We won that game at the last minute at A&M. And I'm on the field trying to guard the bell, and here comes 1,000 corpsmen across the field, mad. And, they're going to take that bell, and I'm going, God, all I've got is that little handbell to do, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Thank goodness, as they were coming, by the time they got across the middle of the field, we had these four senior corpsmen, silver hats, guns, stepped in front of us and pulled their sabers to guard us to keep the Reds corpsmen. I've never liked an Aggie so much in my life as I did that day. So, anyway, I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate Brother Austin Shriver having y'all come here. We're really glad to have you here and welcome you here. Many of you, I'm guessing, have probably never been in a Primitive Baptist church. Probably most of you never heard of a Primitive Baptist church. We're kind of a low-profile church. We're a little different. We're one of the older churches in the United States. George Washington was baptized by Primitive Baptist minister, Elder John Gano. So the Baptist churches around Washington, D.C. existed before even there was a Constitution of the United States. One time, it was one of the oldest churches in the United States. It came over here before, when there was colonies here. The Baptists were up in Rhode Island in that part of the area. There was only one Baptist church at that time. In the 1830s, we had a basic split among the Baptists, and that's how we ended up with our church. We were called the Old Baptists. We didn't want to change the simple way we worship. And you've seen, our worship is simple and informal. We sing without musical instruments, and then we pray. And Brother Chuck had no warning I was going to call on him before he prayed. We call on people as we feel the Spirit leads us to call on people. I don't have a prepared sermon for you here this morning. I'll be speaking more or less off the top of my head, thinking about what I'll do. But we have a simple service. We were known, when there was a split, the split was basically over three things, and you'll see them here. We don't have instrumental music. We're not opposed to instrumental music. I love it. Go out to my car right now, and the radio is already on the minute you turn it on. So I love music. But we think God tells us, and Apostle Paul tells us, that we're supposed to worship and sing melody in our hearts. Lord told Samuel one time when he was picking out King David, he said, the problem with men is men look on the outside. They look and do what appeals to them. He said, I'm the Lord, I look what's on the inside. And that's why we sing. Now, sometimes our harmony may be a little bit off. Sometimes we may not sing as well as we could sing with the instrumental music. But sometimes when you have a piano, you start listening to it, and I listen because I want to hear the good music. Well, that's benefiting me. The Lord wants us singing from our hearts. He wants to know what's in your heart. So that's why we believe in singing without instrument, because it causes you to sing. If you've got a piano, many times you won't sing, or organ or those type of things, you'll listen. That benefits us, but the Lord says, I want to hear you singing from your heart. I want you to sing praises to me from your heart. And so that's why we don't do that. Another one we don't have Sunday schools. We believe kids ought to be taught, and we hope a lot of that takes place in the home. But we also see that the Lord told the Apostle Peter, there he says, I want you to love me, and I want you to feed my lambs and feed my sheep. He told the Apostle Peter, you're to teach the old and the young together. So we bring our kids in the congregation with us, and you'll hear some babies every now and then, and we like that. We think the children are a big part of the church, and young people are a big part of the church. They're not the future of the church. They're the church today. Jesus many times would take a small child and put it in his midst in the Bible to help teach the apostles what the Lord's kingdom was all about. The Lord used children all the time, and so We believe, and he used them to teach and instruct. And so we believe they all here together. There'll be a lot of things maybe children won't understand, but they understand a lot more. We know you, and you can all relate to this, being in school. You see a lot more than sometimes adults think you do. When you get to adults, you lose that vision to see that you think you can hide stuff from your kids. You know you can't. Y'all know y'all see a lot more, and we think it's the same way the worship service. The kids see it and enjoy it a lot more than we think. The third thing that's a difference is missions. You've heard of missionary Baptists? That's not us. We didn't believe in the missions. That's where people, the churches, send money overseas. Now, we believe in missionary work, but it's up to the individual minister. If I felt like the Lord was calling me to go to the Philippines or somewhere, then I should go. That's what I should do. And we have ministers that do that. They do that on their own. We just don't have the missionary work. So those were the basic three things that caused a split in the Baptist church. We wanted to stay like we were. We were called the old school Baptists because we were old school. And the new guys were called new schools. Not very good names. Originally, our church picked the word primitive, intending to mean original. Not antiquated or not caveman, but because at that time, early 1800s, it meant original. And then, of course, the other main church chose first. That's where the First Baptist Church. That was the original split back in the 1830s. Now there's probably 100 different segments of Baptist churches. Our doctrine's a little different, too, just to acquaint you a little bit before I get into what I want to talk about. Our doctrine's a little bit different, too. There's a lot of people that read the Bible think there may be some inconsistencies from time to time because there are two basic doctrines taught in the Bible on how you get your eternal salvation. The two doctrines that are taught, though, are number one is called predestination. God chose a people before the beginning of the world, and he predestinated that they would go to heaven. First chapter of Ephesians, Apostle Paul talks extensively about the doctrine of predestination. Over in Romans, he talks about it again there, about how people were predestinated. A lot of people have trouble with that because when you get there, some of the extreme people that believe that will believe everything is predestinated. The fact that I'm talking here, the fact that y'all came here this morning, we don't believe that at all. We believe in the doctrine of predestination, but not that everything that we do and say is predestinated. We certainly don't believe God predestinates the sin of the world. He didn't do that. He doesn't predestinate the things we do. But a lot of people that believe that will take it to the extreme, and we think, and say that everything is predestinated. The other salvation that's taught in the Bible is salvation by works. You need to do something to get your salvation. That's the other one. Many times referred to as the doctrine of Arminianism, but it's where you have to do something. You have to behave in a certain way. You have to be baptized. You have to accept the Lord. You have to hear the gospel preached. You have to do something. You have to repent, confess, believe, say those type of things, or you have to do good works like the Ten Commandments would tell us to do. We believe that also. We believe that by doing good works, the Lord will reward you. The Lord will bless you. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. We call that timely salvation. No, that's not eternal salvation. We think that's timely salvation. If you do good works and good things, the Lord will reward you today and tomorrow. He blesses us. You get caught up in the doctrine of everything is by works. Then how do you handle those that he talks about predestination? And if you deal solely with predestination, how do you tell that where Apostle Paul says, work out your own salvation? Those two conflict. We don't think they conflict. One of them pertains to eternally. One of them pertains to timely. So those are the two salvations that we think that are clearly taught in the Bible, and we distinguish between those two. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about the second one, timely salvation, and the fact that we know the Lord teaches us, Apostle Peter teaches us, that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek after him. You do the things that the Lord would encourage you to do, command you to do, the Lord will reward you for that today and tomorrow. I mean, many times I know this has happened when my son first started driving. I sent him out in the car, and I'm praying, Lord, save him. Save all the other people, too, around him. What he's doing. I'm not talking about eternal salvation. I'm talking about timely salvation. I want him to save him from a car wreck. My daughter, the first time she went on a date, I was scared to death. You know, didn't look, the guy picking her up didn't look a whole lot different from you guys, but fathers are scared to death sometimes when their daughters go out. You'll learn this one of these days. You'll remember the things that were in your head when you were picking up that young girl. And so as the dad, you'll remember those things. And I pray that my daughter then will be saved from the problems of the world, from the abuse she could suffer, from the assaults. That's not eternal salvation. That's timely salvation. And so many times the Bible uses the word saved and salvation, but it's not talking about eternal salvation. So those are the distinctions that we see that is a little bit different from our church. I want to talk to you this morning about your priorities, all of our priorities, about what our priorities should be. And to do this, they'll know me. They'll laugh at me. I mean, I'm going to do a little show and tell. Yeah, I got props. And the rest of people recognize this. My rocks are back. The rest of the congregation, you've seen, they've seen my rocks before. I have a tray of rocks, and I want you to think that these rocks represent the priorities in your life. Get them all out here. I think Sister Elder last week, she recognized these were all river rocks, which I appreciate her recognizing that difference. They're smooth, so that means they came out of a riverbed. I also have, these are different sized rocks, I also have a jar here full of rocks. We call it sand, but it's really, we know it's just to be tiny rocks. Now, you see one big rock, and you see another smaller rock, middle sized rocks, and then you see a whole jar full of here, real tiny, tiny rocks. If we talk about our priorities in life, what is or what should be our top priority? What should be our top priority? I hope we'd all say, well, worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, ought to be. We all think that, and I'd hope we'd all say, yeah, I love the Lord and I worship the Lord. He is a priority with me. I know it's not always really a priority with me, but I hope I'd say that. I'd hope I'd think that, and I'd hope you would too. We have different priorities. So if we have these rocks and the biggest one here, if we have these representing priorities, the biggest one would represent the Lord. That's the Lord in our life. The biggest one represents the Lord. Then we have a lot of other things in our life that are not as important as the Lord, but they're big priorities. Going to school, going to class. That's older guys working. I work for a living. I'm an attorney. When I'm not up here, I'm an attorney here in Lubbock practicing law. We all have things to do. You got to work. You got to spend time with your family. You got to do your homework. You got to go to class. You know, you got what?
Pay the rent.
Pay the rent. You got to. You know, there's all sorts of things you got to do that are work priorities. And then if you're like me, I've got a ton of things that are not important at all, but they come first in my life. That's what this jar of sand is. These are all the tiny rocks that are not important, but there's a lot of things that I like to do. I get up in the morning, first thing I want to do, and of course, you got to know, I'm an old guy, so I like to read the newspaper still. I get up and I want to read, I get the Avalanche Journal, I read it every morning. I read the sports section first. I read about the game that I got mad at yesterday afternoon watching. Got up and read all about it after I knew what happened, so I didn't have to read about it. I want to turn on the sports, and I want to watch ESPN, the top 10. I got all these little things I want to do in life. You know, my son, top of his list would be playing his Xbox. He wants to get Xbox and play Halo or the latest Madden game or whatever it is. Maybe some of the ladies want to go shopping. They want to keep up with the Kardashians on TV. There's all sorts of things that we want to do that are not priorities, but really they come first in our life, don't they? Let me give you another little example of what I mean. I've got an empty tube here, cylinder, that represents, I'm going to ask it to you, represents a day in our life. And let's go with the priorities, how we do them, and let's see how it falls out. Again, my first priority in life in the morning, I want to get up and I want to watch TV a little bit. I want to watch the news. I want to watch sports, especially the highlights, top 10. The old saddle tramp in me still comes out. I want to go to games, football games. I want to go watch that one last week that started at 10 o'clock and didn't get over to 10 o'clock, and then I was supposed to speak the next day. You know, my priority became kind of watching that game. We start off in the day, though, you know, instead of getting up in the morning, I don't think about the Lord first. I think about doing all these other things I want to do. I want to watch TV. I want to play video games. I want to go shopping. I want to go visit with my friends. I want to go hang out. You know, we start filling up our life with all the little things that we want to do, our daily life. We start doing all these priorities that are not really priorities. But we do them first, don't we? Because that's what we want to do. I want to go enjoy those things first. And then I go, oh, yeah, I hadn't done my homework for algebra yet or geometry or whatever it is or English. So I said, I better do that. Then I said, oh, yeah, better call my mom. Call your mom. Sunday night, y'all call your mom, okay? I know you guys don't talk. You got to talk to your mom, okay? Do that. Say, well, you know, and if you're at home, I got to mow the grass, you know, and I got to do some work, and I got to go to my attorney meeting, You know, and you got all these things you got to go to, and you get them all in there, and you think, oh, yeah, my top priority is supposed to be the Lord, isn't it? So let me see if the Lord. You look, you don't have enough room. You don't have enough room. And I find myself in that same boat. I get to the end of the day, and I think, you know, I should have read my Bible, but I'm too tired now. I've done all these other things, and I got in from the game last night, and I went over to a friend's house, an old ex-saddle tramp of mine last night, and we talked about the game and got mad about it again. And so we ran out of time. At the end of the day, I get home, and I thought, you know, I need to study. I need to read. I didn't say my prayers for my family like I should. And that's the way it is with many times in all of our lives is our day fills up with all other things to do before we get around to thinking about the Lord and what we need to do to take care of our duties in that regard. Now, I'm going to try to back out of this, and I may make a mess up here. Now I'll get in trouble with the ladies who clean up. Well, but I'll see if I can put this back now. But, you know, when I get like this and you see me that I put this now, we don't have tune with the Lord, you're going, I know what's coming next. It's the preacher. He's going to tell me we got to cut out some of the fun stuff. Because we've got to get the Lord there. So, you know, and that's what preachers do. We sit up here and tell you, you got to quit doing all that fun stuff. You need to go worship the Lord. You need to go to church. You need to do your prayers. I'm a preacher. That's what I'm supposed to tell you, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, you got to eliminate some of these fun stuff. Let me see if I can put this back without making a mess. So you think, how much of the fun stuff is he going to tell me that I have to cut out in order to get the Lord worked into these with the other things I've got to do? I don't want to do that. I don't want to cut out any of the fun stuff. But that's what preachers do. I don't think I spilled the sand dry. Had to pack in good. You know, and so my job now is to tell you what we got to eliminate. I want to tell you to cut out your Xbox, cut out Halo, don't play with that anymore, don't go hang out with your friends after the game. Cut out the game because then you'd have a lot of time to do all that. Cut out dating. All these things in life that I'm about to tell you to cut out. Because I'm the preacher, and that's what I need to do so that you'll put the Lord first. I tell you what, let's do. Let's go read what the Lord would have us do. Why don't we go see how he says we should handle these type of problems? Rather than me telling you, let's go read what Jesus says we need to do.
Same thing about chocolate.
I'm cutting out the candy over here. Go to the 6th chapter of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, we consider that the greatest sermon ever preached. There's Bibles in your pulpit, any of you care to follow along. 6th chapter of Matthew is a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preached a great sermon there to his apostles, and it covers a lot of things about life. He tells us how to handle our life, and it's a great guidepost, and I would encourage you sometime to take and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to begin with verse 24, and we're only going to take a small segment of it to talk to you about here today. Jesus tells us here, beginning of verse 24, and I'm going to go through 24 through 33 in a moment. He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You can't serve God and the things of the world. You've got to put one of them as a higher priority. We know that in reality, like me, my first priority is to watch TV and do all those other things before I get around to even doing what I need to do, especially to worship the Lord. God says you can't do that. You can't have two masters. One of them's got to take priority over the other. And I'm afraid, if you're like me, many times I put the things that I want to do first instead of what the Lord would have me do first. And he says, you can't do that. Well, it doesn't work that way. You can't serve both God and the things of the world. We all have different gods that we want to do. You know, my son's is clearly Xbox. I have to watch him and keep him off that. It's clearly his. Many of us is food. Food can be a danger to it. And we're told many times that's one of the gods of the world. There are lots of places in here that talks about we make food. Sleep. Slothfulness, he calls it sometimes. Riches. We're told to be careful that we don't worship riches. We put all the other things. If I'm not careful, being the attorney I am, I want to go after the money at work. You know, I want to make good money. So sometimes I will let that take over my life instead of thinking about what the Lord would have me do. He says you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. If I start telling you can't go to the ball game, you need to stay in Rush Road, you're not going to like that. I wouldn't like that because I was at the game this day. I want to go to the game. I want to do some of those fun things in life that I want to do. I want to watch Sports Center. I want to see who gets the number one play. I love to see the not top 10 plays. Those are even better. But he goes on here and says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Isn't this more than just, isn't life more than about eating and drinking and putting clothes on our body? Tells us there's a lot of things that are more important than our body and our life and our eating and our fun. Again, you see me heading this way. He's going to tell me I got to eliminate all the fun stuff. He said, behold the fowls of the air, the birds. For they don't sow, they don't go out and plant crops. Neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. They don't go out and plant, they don't save, they don't save up. And yet, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? The Lord cares for you a whole lot more than he does the birds in the air, the animals in the field, yet he takes care of them. But we get insecure. We think, he's not going to take care. I get worried. I thought, I got to pay the rent. I got to go work. So I'm going to go work first. At the end of the day, if I can, then I'll go read my Bible. Then I'll go study. Then I'll go pray. He says, don't worry. The Lord will take care of you. He plans on taking care of you. If you're doing what he says, he will take care of you. Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Now, this is aimed a lot at the women, more so than us guys. Or we'll blame the women for it anyway. Which one of you, by worrying, can solve anything? You know, sometimes I'll get to worry about how I'm going to make my rent payment, especially in years past when I was first getting married and trying to raise a family. I didn't know how I was going to pay some of the bills. And of course, the best thing to do is worry about it. And we know the women are accused of this a whole lot. And maybe us men worry, we just don't talk about it as much. Don't let it show. Don't let them see you sweat type of deal. He says, you can't help yourself by worrying. He wants you to bring your problems to him. And why take ye thought for raiment, for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Even Solomon in his heyday didn't dress as nice as the Lord dresses the flowers in the field. Solomon was a great king of Israel, had great riches. He wore great clothes, had great palaces, great lands. He was great in everything, had several hundred wives, y'all know that, and concubines. He had a wonderful life in this world, but even he wasn't taken care of any more than the Lord takes care of the lilies of the field. And yet he says, if he takes care of the lilies of the field, he'll also take care of you. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He's saying, the Lord will take care of you, not to worry. If we'll do what he wants us to do, don't worry about it. If you'll go to him in prayer, go to him in study, the Lord will take care of you. As we said a while ago, the Lord is a rewarder of those that diligently seek after him. Therefore, he says, take no thought, saying what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink or wherefore shall ye be clothed. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. Don't worry about working yourself to death to solve the problems of the world. The Father knoweth ye have need of these things. And then he says this in verse 33, and this is the heart of his message. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus says, seek me first. Seek the Lord first, and everything else will be added to you. He knows what you need before you even ask. He said, the Lord knows what you need before you even ask. But if you'll seek him first, he'll add everything else to you. Now, the Lord created us. We are his creatures. Everything about us was created by him. Every desire you have, the Lord put it in your mind, your brain, to have that desire. He knows we want to enjoy life. He knows me better than I know. He knows I want to watch Sports Center. I want to read the newspaper. And every now and then, I want to go to a movie, and I want to go to a football game every week, no matter how bad I get the week before. The Lord knows you want that. He's not denying you that. He says, but put me first. Start off your day thinking about him and praying to him. So instead of me telling you what we're going to cut out, let's do it the way the Lord wants. He says, put me first. Let's start this again. Take God and let's put him in first. I don't think there's any way this will turn out, but let's try it and see it the Lord's way. Then do the things you're supposed to do. I need to do my homework. I need to go to class. I need to call my mom. I need to go to my fraternity meetings, take care of my jobs there. I need to do what my chaplain tells me I ought to do. Need to pay the rent. I get in there, all the things. Now we'll see how much of good stuff that I want to do gets cut out. Let's do it in the right order that Jesus tells us. Now let's see all these other things. Now I can go play my Xbox. Now I can go watch the Kardashians. Or I'm really like Coach Kingsbury. I like Law and Order. An attorney, remember that? So let's see how much stuff we have to cut out when we do it in the right order. We got room left over. You know, this is not really a trick. Same stones. Anybody that's an engineer probably knows what's going on. When you pack your car, do you put the little stuff in first? No, you put the big stuff in first. And then you put the little stuff in around it. The same principle works here. Same principle works for the Lord. The Lord says, put me first, and everything else in your life will fit together. You know, when a while ago when we tried to put the rock in last, you can't take the Lord and try to work him in with the things of the world. But the Lord says, if you'll put me first, everything else in the world will work in around me. Amazing how that works out. He says, I'm not going to deny you the things you want to do in the world. I'm not going to deny you the fun things. But make me your first priority. What he's telling us is when you get up in the morning, take a few minutes and pray for your family. Pray for those people we got. Pray for the leaders of our country. Pray for their enemies, as he tells us. We got a lot of enemies in this world right now. We ought to be praying. We're told that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Great prayer helps. And the Lord listens to prayer. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek after him. He knows you want to have fun. He knows you want to play video games. But he said, take care of things first. You know, I get up in the morning a lot of times. I get up in the morning and I've got to go to work. And said, I'm an attorney and I know, God, I've got too much to do. I don't have time to do anything else. I just got to get to the office. Because I got to call up a couple of lawyers and argue with them on settling the case. I've got to do a contract. I've got to write a brief or something. And you know, I said, I've just got too much to do. To study my Bible or to read or to pray or anything. You know, and I am a prophet. I get the office and I have correctly predicted I have a bad day. I get on, I argue with other lawyers all day long and I can't seem to write this brief. The words don't flow to me. I was a journalism major. I worked at the University today, now the Tordor. So I like to write, but sometimes right words just don't flow right for me. I can't do it. And I get in an argument. I'm there at the end of the day and I didn't get a whole lot done. And sometimes, though, when I'm in the morning, I think and I do what the Lord tells me to do, and I'll get up and I'm going to go, well, no, you got a bad day, but stop. Let me stop for just 5 minutes here and let me pray for my family. Let me pray for my kids that are now up and gone. I don't know where they are, you know, right now. Didn't know where they are when they were home half the time either. But I don't know where they are, and I need to pray for them. I need the Lord to take care of my kids. I need to pray for my family. I need to pray for my church. I need to pray for my fellow friends. And take care of them. I maybe need to read a little bit of the Bible. Maybe I'll say I'm going to take 5 minutes and read a chapter of the Bible. When I do that, I usually find up reading 10 minutes because I get interested in something.
Pray for your brother.
Pray for my brother. And when I, you know, when I get the office after I've done that, if I take and put in for, I get the office, it's amazing. My arguments with lawyers get settled quicker. I thought that wasn't near as bad as I thought it was going to be. I sit down to get ready to write that brief and words come to me a lot easier. You know, and I go through the day, and I get through about 3 o'clock, and I went, golly, I got through everything I needed to do that day a lot quicker. Because when I put him in the right priority, when you put him in the right priority, things you have in life go smoother. I don't know anybody in this world that doesn't have, day in and day out, doesn't have troubles in the world. We all have troubles and problems. If you think you know somebody that doesn't have troubles, then you don't know them well enough. We've all got problems, and the Lord says, bring your problems to me. You know, it's not easy to sit there in a dorm room, and I've been there, and try to pray in front of everybody. You know, it's just, you kind of want to close the door, you want to get private. You can pray. The Lord just wants you to talk to him when you're laying in your bed, when you're asleep. Get a chance, get up and read your Bible. Sunday mornings, make the effort to get up and go to church. It pays big dividends. The Lord says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek after him. You don't have to cut out. I think you'll find out as we sow here. In normal things of life, you put him first, everything else will fall into place. You won't have to eliminate a thing. packing your car, putting rocks in, doesn't work any different than it does worshiping the Lord. Put Him first, and He'll take care of you. Y'all have been very kind with me with your attention. My prayer is that the Lord will richly bless each of you.